All right, welcome to this week's edition of the Maximum Hoops Podcast. As usual, I am Michael Maxey. Thank you for joining us. I'm going to try to put one out once a week. I got a busy schedule, so it gets a little difficult sometimes for me to get one out once a week, but that's what I'm going to be doing. So, there's some teams that are off to some slow starts, so that got me thinking about, who could be available via trade. And now there's word that Jay Crowder, the Phoenix Suns forward, could be close to being dealt. So today I'm going to go through and we're going to talk about the trading block. Who guys who I believe will be on the trading block or who could be traded, where they could go, teams that might be interested, and teams that are probably interested. So let's start with Jay Crowder, since there's a couple reports out there that's saying that he is going to be dealt here in the next couple days, and I find that interesting. There's like three teams in the hot pursuit of him: Milwaukee, Miami. I don't think the Lakers are. Brooklyn could possibly be in, but definitely Miami and Milwaukee. I know he played really good, and Miami would love him back, but I feel like Miami doesn't have anything to make a trade because let's be honest, Phoenix is not going to take a young player who's going to sit on the bench. They're going to take someone who can contribute, especially with Cam Johnson going to be gone for a while with an injury. So, and he took Jay Crowder's spot in the lineup. So I'm thinking they're going to want a rotation piece. So I don't feel like Miami's going to give him a rotation piece. There's word that there's a third team involved that would make sense for Miami. But it would also make sense for Milwaukee Bucks. And I believe that the Milwaukee Bucks are the clear favorites for Jay Crowder. There's talk they've been dangling Grayson Allen now to try to get another piece. Grayson Allen's a nice player. But I really think that they would like a better defender, which is exactly what Jay Crowder is. Now they can move Middleton back to the two as his natural spot and have a front court of Brook Lopez, who's playing out of his mind, Giannis, who's going to turn it right back up, and possibly Jay Crowder. I think that's what they would like to do. So I think Miami's a front runner. As far as a third team getting involved, I mean, that could be anywhere from Charlotte to, these teams that it could be Oklahoma City who has somebody that they might be able to, I don't know right offhand who they might have available, but these are teams that are probably going to want a pick of some sort, and that they can put a veteran over on Phoenix, allowing Crowder to go to Milwaukee or Miami, and then they can get an asset for getting rid of a player. It's basically Houston could be a possibility. That's how I feel that this could go. Phoenix is going to want to improve themselves. The Bucks are going to want to improve themselves. The third team is most likely going to be a team that is not ready to contribute. So that's how I feel Jay Crowder's going through. I personally think he's going to the Bucks, especially because there's been a lot of chatter of Grayson Allen being offered in trades. That is an indication, I think, that they're trying to peddle Grayson Allen, who I think would be a great addition to Phoenix, but with his low salary, he could also be a great addition to a young team and whatnot, and from there. So we start with him. Now I'm going to bring up a name that I'm going to go out on a limb and say we are all surprised is still there, and that's Russell Westbrook with the Lakers. So we all know how the whole Lakers saga is going, and the window for LeBron to get another title, and Anthony Davis not really stepping up. I mean, every freaking radio show is talking about it. But what they haven't really realized is Russell Westbrook has excelled coming off the bench. The Lakers have an easy schedule coming up. I think that they could win some games out of there. I think they can get themselves back to respectability. I do think they're still trying to trade. If they can get themselves back with a good run in these next six to eight games, and I think that they could be in the market for dealing Russell Westbrook again. Problem is that do do they want a chance to, the chemistry they got is Russell Wilson, Westbrook coming off the bench. So I think he's still out there. It's going to be the right deal. The Lakers obviously have not traded him yet. There was obviously the talk of Hield and Turner from Indiana, which we'll talk about in a little bit. There's talk about Charlotte, which we'll talk about in a little bit. So there's lots of avenues for Russell Westbrook trade. San Antonio, another team we'll talk about in a little bit. They could be a facilitator. You know, there's lots of avenues to improve the Lakers, but they're going to almost certainly have to give up a couple first-round picks to improve, and that seems to be the sticking point. So Russell Westbrook, I have as a player who's still on the block. A guy who I think is on the block is D'Angelo Russell from Minnesota. So he's in the last year of his contract, which makes him tradable. It's a lot of money coming off the books. He could really help out a rebuilding team with his salary coming off the books. They can buy him out, or they can keep him on the roster, let his salary run out. Lots of things. D'Angelo Russell is not really a good fit for what Minnesota is doing. And I mean, he did have a great game the other night, but they need the ball. They need a point guard who can get the ball to Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns. And I'm not sure D'Angelo Russell is that type of point guard. And if you've listened to me, you know I don't really feel like he's a point guard in general. So it's a tricky situation in Minnesota because talent-wise, they should be winning a lot more games than they are. They just acquired Rudy Gobert, so they got the best defensive big man. They have Karl Anthony Towns, best offensive big man. They have Anthony Edwards, who's a budding superstar, in my opinion. They're just really a floor leader away from really excelling. And if you look at the metrics and you know the advanced stats, Anthony Edwards is so much better when Jordan McLaughlin, D'Angelo Russell's backup, is in the game because he's a true point guard. He's not looking to score. And I think if you can get a guy who's not looking to score, like, you know, I know point guards are hard to come by, but if you can get a Tyus Jones or a Trey Jones or something like that in a deal, that might almost be better. A guy who can hit an open three-pointer but does not demand the ball and his hands can be more of a facilitator and whatnot. So, yeah, D'Angelo Russell is definitely on the block. I mean, I'm trying to think of like, I mean, I don't know if a contender is going to want him. I'm not sure he's great for the chemistry. He's a chucker. He has to have the ball in his hands at all time, which is why they put him at point guard. Not super impressed with that, but you know, it is what it is. So we'll have to see if D'Angelo Russell can make it through through the season with Minnesota. So here's a name that, if you listen to me again, you know how much I think this guy's overrated. That's Kyle Lowry, point guard of the Miami Heat. Miami Heat has no other option at point guard. They did sign Kyle Lowry. I don't think he is. First of all, I think he's declined. Let's get that out of there first. I definitely think he's declined. I don't think he was that great to begin with. I think emerging Pascal Siakam and Kawhi Leonard carried him to a title. He gets a lot of credit. And Fred VanVleet coming off the bench. I think they bailed Kyle Lowry out. I think Kyle Lowry's a nice player, but I personally think he's more of a backup, especially now in his career. He's been awful in Miami. It's not been a good signing, which I said, if you listen to me, I said from the get-go that Miami, this is a mistake. Kyle Lowry, he's still serviceable. I think he could go to Phoenix and be a nice player off the bench behind Chris Paul. Although campaign's killing it right over there. If San Antonio wants to give up some of their youth, Miami, I'm sure, would take them. You know, I know he's been kind of talked about for the Lakers. I don't think that's necessarily a good fit over there. So it's I don't think he's going to be traded for a couple reasons. I don't think anyone's going to want him. I know that when Miami's talked about making monster trades or big trades, Kyle Lowry's obviously because of his salary involved in almost all of them, because they're not trading Jimmy Butler. Tyler Herro's just signed an extension. They want to get rid of Duncan Robinson, so attaching Kyle Lowry to Duncan Robinson is a possibility. I don't think a contender like the Bucks or Golden State are going to want to take on Kyle Lowry. So Kyle Lowry's a guy, if he gets traded, which I do not think he's going to get traded because I don't think anyone's going to want him. It's going to be to one of these teams that just wants a clear salary and possibly buy him out. So I got Kyle Lowry on the block. So the next guy I got is a guy who I have been thinking he's going to be traded the last three seasons, and that's Eric Gordon. I am a big Eric Gordon fan, and I know he's older now and not as good, but now he's starting a small forward, and they're very small with him as a small forward. I think the only reason he's starting is because of who he is. He's Eric Gordon. He's still having a good season. You know, they obviously got Jalen Green, and they got Kevin Porter. I would love to see Houston add a point guard, a true point guard, move Kevin Porter either to the bench or to the three, even though I really like Tari Eason starting as a three, but be that as it may. I think Eric Gordon is a perfect fit for the Milwaukee Bucks. A perfect fit for Milwaukee Bucks. I think he would come in and give them a lot. Definitely his outside shooting. He's an underrated defender. I think he would be good in Golden State. I think he would be good in Phoenix. I don't know what's going on in Brooklyn, so I can't really. I do not know if they're a contender. You know, I think he could be good in Portland, although Portland's getting a lot of good play off the bench right now from their rookie Shaedon Sharpe. So Eric Gordon's got a lot of options. You know, Boston. I think he'd be great in Boston. There's a ton of teams that I think if Houston really became serious about dealing Eric Gordon, that I think would be interested, and I think Milwaukee would be one of them. So, I got Eric Gordon as a possible trade candidate. Next on the list, Evan Fournier. Evan Fournier's NBA career kind of baffles me. Like, he goes places, he's good. Then he falls out of rotation. He just comes back in, goes to another team, he's good. Did this in Denver, Orlando. And now he's doing it with the Knicks. So he was a starter last year. I know a lot of people in the media, especially, were trying to, poo-poo him as a starter. And then Evan Fournier went into the EuroLeague, and I thought he was good for France, but now he's back with the Knicks, and he has fallen out of the rotation. Couple reasons. For one big reason is Cam Reddish's emergence. Cam Reddish has emerged as a pretty good defender, a good catch and shoot, three-point shooter. He has now become the starting two guard in New York. Quentin Grimes is still coming back from injury. He's kind of lost his rotation minutes too. So I think Quentin Grimes, once he's gets more feel for it, he will be back into the rotation. So Evan Fournier is now this is a guy who also would be great in Milwaukee. Milwaukee's getting a lot of good bench play. A couple of them are starting now because of injuries, but Marshawn Beauchamp, the rookie, has been playing good. Javon Carter's been playing out of his mind. So I don't know if the Bucks would even make a play for Fournier. And I think Eric Gordon's a better option, and Jay Crowder's definitely a better option than Fournier. Fournier's not really much of a defender, per se. So, I think I think you're going to find, right, Evan, I would not be surprised if Evan Fournier is included in a bigger deal with the Knicks if they decide to make one. I know they go up and down with their infatuation for Julius Randle. He had a monster game last night, but he struggled some. You know, his usage is down. So I would not be surprised if Fournier is part of a bigger deal that they go with. So the last name I have on the list of single players, because then my next segment, I'm gonna say some teams that have multiple players or could be just looking to make deals, is OG Anunoby. And because of injuries, he's starting, he's playing all right, he's a good defender, he can play the three, the four. But with Scottie Barnes there, it's Scottie Barnes is a better player. OG's a nice player, but I think if Toronto can make some sort of deal, I think OG would be included in that kind of deal. Teams that could be interested in for him: Miami could really use OG. They could play him up front with Jimmy Butler. If the Bucks don't land Jay Crowder, he would be a nice addition. I don't think Toronto would do that, though. Phoenix, he'd be really good. Phoenix is struggling now that they're going to deal Crowder and Cam Johnson's out. So those are some teams that OG would be really good. So with that said, we'll come right back and we'll talk about some teams that could be looking to have a little bit of a shakeup coming as we get close to trade season. All right, welcome back. So last segment we did a lot of looking at some players who could be on the block and some teams that could be interested and whatnot. So this time it's going to be a little bit more team focused on a couple teams that are probably looking to shake it up. And I'm going to start with a disappointing team, the Golden State Warriors. So the Golden State Warriors, we all thought that their depth was going to be ridiculous this year because, you know, the emergence of Jordan Poole, Jonathan Kuminga is going to step up. Moses Moody is about to get into the rotation. Dante DiVincenzo was just acquired. And, of course, James Wiseman. So the problem is they're not getting anything from their young guys. Not getting anything at all. And if they don't turn it around fast, they're going to find themselves in the middle or bottom half of the Western Conference. Steph Curry is carrying them single-handedly. And they got to do something. I personally think, and I might be in the minority, that Klay has lost a step. And while I think Klay would be great in, like, L.A., like, ridiculously great in L.A. as a Laker, I don't think Golden State will trade him to the Lakers. I don't think Golden State will trade him at all. I do think that they should look into maybe... because he's lost a step, and for Golden State to be good, Klay Thompson needs to be good, and I've seen flashes of it, but I don't see the burst and whatnot. But like a team like LA, if LA were to make a deal, that would be a place he could go to, and I think he would excel. The Clippers, he could really excel. Brooklyn, I don't know what their status is. Don't know if they're going to look to deal Durant and Irving or whatnot. But Golden State, I personally think they will look to trade James Wiseman. Obviously, they're not very happy with him. And I'm a little surprised. I thought he played pretty good in the preseason. I thought he looked really good, coming back from time off and whatnot and injuries. A little surprised. The whole they haven't replaced Gary Payton II, and they haven't replaced Otto Porter, who, while they're not great names. They were defensive, you know, players, and they really helped the second unit. But they don't have that type of player right now. Jonathan Kuminga is a nice player, but you know, they don't trust him. He's not falling out of the rotation. Moses Moody got some early run. He's not falling out of the rotation. Especially with Dante DiVincenzo coming back, that's cutting into Moody's time. Wiseman's been sent down to the G League. So Golden State started out the season so good. I'm like, oh shit, here we go again. They're about to have another great season. But things are turning. They have not won a road game yet. And that's concerning if you're Golden State. Steph Curry put up 50 and they lost. That's concerning. There's no one else on that roster. So in order to get someone else on that roster, I think dealing Clay is the right thing to do. They're probably not going to do that unless Clay asks for a trade, which I don't see him doing. There's a lot of respect on both sides. There's a lot of loyalty on both sides. So I don't see that happening at all. But the Golden State Warriors, as of right now, are a bloody mess. Steph Curry is the only one doing anything. They should probably trade Clay, but they're probably going to panic, and they're probably going to trade Wiseman and probably Moses Moody. But I think that they will try to hold on to Jonathan Kuminga. It's just my gut, because Kuminga is the highest, well, Wiseman is the highest rated of all of them, but or coming out of college, he was. But Jonathan Kuminga, I think, is a guy that they really like. I don't think they will trade him. I think Wiseman and Moody could be gone. And Wiseman going down to Santa Cruz to play for the G League team is probably a last-ditch effort. When he comes back, if he's not better, I believe he will be probably dealt. A team like San Antonio, they have guys that Golden State might be interested. They have a couple veterans. A team like possibly Utah. I don't know what they're going to do. I'm going to get into them in a few seconds. There could be trade partners. So, yeah, the Warriors right now are a freaking mess. It's better if they get patient or if they panic on how this goes down. So let's go to the Utah Jazz, who I just mentioned. So everyone thought the Utah Jazz were going to suck ass, myself included. I love Lauri Markkanen. I've always loved Lauri Markkanen. I just think he is a freaking 7-foot Dirk-type player. I just think he's that type of talent. The Bulls gave up on him. He ended up going in the sign trade to Cleveland. Well, in the Donovan Mitchell deal, he got shipped out to Utah. He played great in EuroLeague, the Euro Cup. And he is just freaking blowing up right now for Utah. And he is single-handedly carrying them. I don't know if that's going to change their... Let's just put it this way. I believe Markkanen is a part of the future for Utah. I believe Walker Kessler, who they acquired in the Rudy Gobert deal, he is a good shot blocker and a good rebounder. Still working on it offensively. I think he's eventually going to be their starting center. You know, I think Malik Beasley, I'm not 100% sure what they think of him. But I think Markkanen and Walker Kessler are definitely keepers. I think Ochai Agbaji, even though he has not cracked the rotation, it's probably because they're doing good. So if Utah decides that they want to take, go to the playoffs, I don't think they'll be making any deals. But if things start going south and they decide, you know what, let's just, or if they're offered some really good trades, I believe they will be making some deals. Mike Conley, that's a guy I can see the Lakers targeting. He has been playing really good. That would also clear room for Colin Sexton to move into the starting spot. And I think they plan on keeping Colin Sexton long term. Rudy Gay is another guy who could help out a team like possibly Phoenix, possibly Miami. He'd really help out Miami, Milwaukee if they don't land Jay Crowder. Like I said, I don't know what the hell's going on in Brooklyn. He could help out Boston. Rudy Gay is a great player. Jordan Clarkson is blowing this shit up, dude. He has been awesome. So, we all thought Danny Ainge was blowing his whole shit up when he traded the two best players, Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, but he's got an actual freaking team full of unselfish players right now, and they are balling out. They're looking really good. So once again, Danny likes to he likes to make trades, but he also likes to do good. So we'll see. And starting center Kelly Olynyk, he's another name that I think. You know what? All four of these guys right now, at least three of the four, maybe not Rudy Gay as much, are balling out right now. Jordan Clarkson has been awesome. Kelly Olynyk has been good. Mike Conley has been really good at times. Rudy Gay brings, you know, some veteran leadership off the bench. Utah, this is a team I could see being a trade partner with Golden State. They could take on a guy like Moses Moody, a guy like Wiseman, even though they just did acquire Kessler and Okaji. You know, this is trying to figure out Utah right now. Like, I figured out, like, when they didn't trade Mike Conley before the season, I was shocked. When they didn't trade Jordan Clarkson before the season, I was shocked. But now it's playing good. It all makes sense. I do believe that Conley, Gay, Clarkson, Olynyk, and Malik Beasley for the right price, I think Danny Ainge would do a deal, because he knows they're not winning a title. I mean, even if they slip into the playoffs, you know, I mean, that's good experience for these young players. I still think he wants to go with a youth movement and whatnot. So I got the Utah Jazz. Utah Jazz are going to be an interesting team to watch from now until the trade deadline, which is in February. And once again, I'll probably do another trade thing right before the trade deadline. But right now, so Golden State and Utah. So another team that's going to be, I think they're going to be more sellers than Utah, and that's San Antonio. We keep hearing Jakob Poeltl's name as a possible, possibly getting dealt, and rather soon. That's a guy who there are rumors that Golden State might be eyeing him. He'd be a really nice backup. He could, you know, he could play starter minutes if he needs to. He's playing better than Kevon Looney, you know. You know, if they could get Wiseman back, I think Golden State would. San Antonio would take him from Golden State. That's actually, I mean, that almost sounds like a freaking marriage. Because let's be honest, San Antonio's a surprise too. They're playing really good, but they're not playing like Utah good. They're playing like middle of the pack good. Utah's playing really good, and that's like, okay, we could be a top four seed good right now. San Antonio's playing, we thought they were going to be awful, but they could be a playing team kind of good. You know what I'm saying? So, Jakob Poeltl, Doug McDermott, and Josh Richardson could all be guys who could find their names being traded. You know what? They have a lot of good players. They don't really have. I mean, their starting point guard is Trey Jones, who's a nice player, really nice player. But I'm sure they want to upgrade that position. There's going to be a couple of them in this draft. So do they wait? I mean, that's possible. You know, Josh Richardson's getting minutes. Doug McDermott's getting minutes. But Jakob Poeltl is playing ridiculously well. They have Devin Vassell there. They let Lonnie Walker go to the Lakers. I don't know what happened in the Josh Primo situation, so he's no longer on the team. So I could see them trying to go after some youth. And like I said, Golden State would be a perfect trade partner. I think they could get Moses Moody and Wiseman from Golden State in a deal with Jakob Poeltl and possibly Doug McDermott. I'd have to check out the money on it. Maybe a couple players involved. But that's something that I could definitely see happening. I think San Antonio would love to add some youth, especially now that they got rid of Primo and Lonnie Walker. They have Devin Vassell. Kelton Johnson just signed that extension, and he's balling out right now. You know, he can play the 3-4. I really think that you're going to see them explore these trades. My guess is they just haven't gotten anything that interests them. Josh Richardson would be a good player for a team like Phoenix. And I know I keep repeating these teams, but these are teams that could use a good backup or guard, Josh Richardson, Keane from Boston. I don't see Boston trying to take a stab at him again. He'd be fine possibly in Miami, which I'm going to get to in a minute. So, I see San Antonio being big time players. So, speaking of Miami, let's just go to them right now. So, Miami signed Tyler Herro. His name was bandied around in trade rumors throughout the season. Every trade room right here has Kyle Lowry's name in it. I touched on him in the last segment. Duncan Robinson is a player that teams could be interested because of his shooting. He's a terrible defender, but that didn't stop Miami from giving him $80 million. That's a guy who would really excel for the Lakers. I mean, like, just off of catch and shoots. I mean, that's a guy who I could see really playing well for the Lakers. They're right now starting Caleb Martin. They're weak up front. They have basically one big man. It's Bam Adebayo. And right now he's hurt. I guess they have Dwayne Devin coming off the bench. But that's like their only two big men. And there's talk that, they'll just play Bam as the power forward. Yeah, not really his thing. So he's back in the middle, Devin backing him up, and they don't really have any other bigs. That's kind of hurting them. So I could see Miami's going to dangle Duncan Robinson and possibly Kyle Lowry because they could play Tyler Herro as a point guard and whatnot. That's a team to look for. Miami needs to upgrade if they want to make a run in the Eastern Conference. Let's go to Indiana. We've heard Buddy Hield. We've heard Miles Turner. Miles Turner's in the last year of his contract. Buddy Hield, I believe, has one more year after this. Do the Lakers revisit that? The Lakers are starting to play better with Russell Westbrook coming off the bench. I think they would revisit it. I don't think they want to give up both first-round picks in this deal. But especially with now that Ben Mathurin, the rookie, is playing really good and looks like he is going to be the real deal. And Buddy Hield's just playing basically as a showcase, so they could probably get him dealt. So now that Mathurin's playing well, they did lose Duarte. They're still bringing Mathurin off the bench. We'll have to see how that plays out. I would love to see him get in the starting lineup and have him and Halliburton playing all the time together. But, and as far as Miles Turner is concerned, they could either get a big in return, or they could just move like Jalen Smith or Isaiah Jackson into the starting center spot. There's lots of options. I mean, let's be honest, they're in a rebuilding mode. I would like to see Bethurin start at either the two or the three, and they can either bring Duarte off the bench when he returns or have him at the two, Bethurin at the three. That's what I would love to see. I know there's a lot of guys I follow on Twitter that are big Pacers fans, and they love Mathurin, but they're almost like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Keep him coming off the bench. I would love to see him he's getting 30 minutes off the bench. So clearing out Buddy Hield would give him, not that he's not getting more time, it would free up a starting spot for him. Miles Turner, last year's contract, this is that guy I feel will be dealt at the trade deadline. You know what I'm saying? And that's going to suck because if the Lakers are not looking like a playoff team, then the Lakers are going to, and me being a LeBron guy, I want to see LeBron go out with a lot better than what he's doing right now. Yeah, he's going to break with Kareem's record, but, So, with that said, let's go to my last and final team, the Charlotte Hornets. So the Charlotte Hornets are dealing with injuries. Charlotte Hornets are dealing with a shitty first start to the season. I would not be surprised if they just go all in on rebuild. LaMelo Ball is hurt again. LaMelo Ball is a stud. When LaMelo Ball is not hurt, he is a flat-out freaking stud. So I would love to see them build around him. Gordon Hayward, Kelly Oubre, Terry Rozier, I could see them all being dealt. Oubre has been starting with Hayward struggling and he's been injured, and with LaMelo out, Rozier's been starting at the point. So Oubre's been getting a lot of run. Both of them guys look great in Laker colors. Terry Rozier is not a two guard, but when LaMelo Ball's playing, they have him both they have him playing off the ball, which is fine. He's just undersized. I would like to see him go be like a guy coming off the bench, as more like a combo guard coming off the bench, and almost Jordan Poole like style. I would not be surprised if all three of these guys are dealt by the deadline, which isn't until February. The Lakers would want either of them. It looks like PJ Washington has solidified his starting power forward spot. He's been playing really good, so I don't think that they'll deal him. And this whole Miles Bridges thing has worked out actually perfect, because it allowed some of these guys some more time. I don't think Gordon Hayward was ever really a star. But with that said, I think he is a decent player. Could be a nice starter as like a third, fourth, fifth option, or coming off the bench. That's what I think. And Oubre has, I think Oubre is a better bench player too, because he has nights where he just is balls out and his shots gone and whatnot. So, anyways, that's how I look at the trading block. Obviously, as trades happen, I will come in and do emergency podcasts and whatnot. So if you have any questions, feel free to contact me. My email is mmaxi5@icloud.com, or you can reach me at Maximum Hoops NBA on Twitter. And we hope you have a nice week. Next week, we're going to probably come back and talk about some disappointing teams and some teams who have got off to a surprise start. And I did touch a little bit on that in this training block special. So we'll talk to you again next week.